What's Up Doc number 2, Dr. Eleanor Stein on hormesis for ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, by Court Johnson, July 26, 2024. Dr. Eleanor Stein, MD, is an ME/CFS expert with a difference. About 30 years ago, she came down with ME/CFS and fibromyalgia and multiple chemical sensitivities, or MCS. As a doctor, she's worked with over 1,000 ME/CFS and fibromyalgia and environmental illness patients over the last 20 years. She is no longer practicing. Dr. Stein won the Florence Nightingale Award from the Edmonton ME Society and the John McLennan Award of the Canadian Society for Environmental Medicine. It took her over 25 years to do it, but she's also a recovered person with ME/CFS. In the second of our What's Up Doc series, exploring what's exciting ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID doctors and researchers, I had to ask Dr. Stein first about her recovery. Watch the interview and or read the blog, which contains some extra stuff. And of course, you can see the link to that in the text version of the article. A surprising recovery. She also has an eye-opening recovery story. She did everything she could to get over multiple chemical sensitivities and ME/CFS. She flew all over the place, trying so many different treatments, including some really exotic ones, and nothing worked until, to her utter shock, something did. Dr. Stein explained that she was a hardcore biomedical proponent who sniffed at anything mind-body oriented until she had a very, very ill and hypersensitive multiple chemical sensitivities patient who was able to move out of her tent and into an apartment after doing Annie Hopper's Dynamic Neural Retraining System, or DNRS. A week after Dr. Stein did the program, her chemical sensitivities were 80% better and are now gone completely. That was part one. Part two, getting over chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, was more difficult. It took several years, but using DNRS and other practices she picked up from Norman Deutsch's book and Dr. Michael Moskowitz, plus photobiomodulation or red light therapy, an autoimmune diet, pacing, focusing on her psychological well-being, etc., everything came together, and at one point, she was able to start exercising again without harm. She is still well and completely functional several years later. Check out Dr. Stein's Healing Through Neuroplasticity course, and you can see the link for that in the text version of the article. Anyone leery about the brain's ability to retrain itself should check out Jan's remarkable story, as told by Dr. Moskowitz in Norman Deutsch's 2015 book, The Brain's Way of Healing, Remarkable Discoveries and Recoveries from the Frontiers of Neuroplasticity. The Autoimmune Diet. The autoimmune diet avoids substances that arouse the immune system like nuts, seeds, dairy, eggs, legumes, and greens. It basically consists of meats, vegetables, and fruits, and she doesn't recommend it for everyone. About a year and a half after she started, she noticed that her energy was up. She was able to do more in a day. She was not crashing, and she was able to get out and about without a problem. Neuroplasticity and a gratitude practice. Dr. Stein said her neuroplasticity practice was incredibly helpful. Prior to that, she was focused on what she didn't have and what she'd missed out on. Finding ways to elevate her mood, which is basically what all these programs do, is helpful physiologically. For instance, BDNF, which helps us form new neural circuits, does its best work when the mood is elevated. Neuroplastic practices need to be done repeatedly, over and over again, so that the brain starts to get them and listen to them. Recently, she's done a lot of research on chronic stress. One upshot is that chronic stress is a function of how we perceive our situations. Referencing some people who are in really difficult situations but manage to remain upbeat, she said, quote, "That objective circumstance is not the determinant of whether I feel stress or not. It's how I perceive it. Two people could have the exact same circumstance, and one person could be absolutely miserable and continually focused on the have-nots. That is," she said, in Buddhism, a recipe for misery. Another person in objectively very similar circumstances could be like, you know what? Life is good. I can do this, this, and this. I have a loving family looking after me, or I have this or that. To anyone who is experiencing chronic stress, heart rate is up, sleeping poorly, feeling stressed and anxious, worried, angry, and frustrated, she suggested starting a gratitude practice. She recognized some people respond, "Are you kidding me?" But for her, it's made a real difference. Dr. Stein emphasized that these practices are not a cure. Instead, each of them worked on one of the many layers of health that were ultimately beneficial for her, as is hormesis. Hormesis. If Dr. Stein is anything, she is curious and she's recently focused on something called hormesis. Hormesis is a process by which cells get stronger after being exposed to low levels of stress. A key factor regarding hormetic stressors is that they are natural. For example, for the most part, they are stressors our bodies have become evolutionarily adapted to. Stressors involving reduced food intake, the extremes of heat and cold, for instance, call forth a healthy metabolic response that leaves us stronger. Proponents of hormesis assert that these stressors are so baked into our physiology that our bodies and cells need exposure to them to function optimally. Exercise, when done correctly, in people who can do it, is a prime example of how a hormetic stressor works. Even though exercise strongly stresses the body, it causes our heart rate and breathing to increase dramatically and can result in muscle damage. In a healthy person, the damage is quickly repaired, the muscles grow stronger, and glucose metabolism, bone formation, and more are improved. With regard to exercise and diseases like ME/CFS, Dr. Stein assesses her heart rate and heart rate variability using a wearable tracker. Check out her presentation in May of this year on how to do that on her website, as well as handouts on pacing, orthostatic intolerance, etc. The biggest mistake people make with exercise is pushing forward too fast. Once you establish what you can do safely with no increase in resting heart rate or decrease in heart rate variability, then try to up the duration by 10%. Only after significantly increasing the duration do you attempt to increase the intensity. It's all about baby steps. Because hormetic stressors tax the body, though, it is possible to overdo them. Hormetic stressors should be started and built up slowly, be done at levels that tax the system but do not overwhelm it, and should be done intermittently. Of course, not all stressors are good. Being exposed to toxic chemicals, for instance, does not make you stronger. It just makes you sicker. Being exposed to white flour stresses your system but does not make it stronger. 6 hormetic stressors. Photobiomodulation. Dr. Stein reported that photobiomodulation, using red and or infrared light therapy, was one of the things that aided her recovery and has helped her patients with pain, energy, sleep, and mood. She started using it in 2010 and found that it slowly helped. Specific light wavelengths that are absorbed by our mitochondria are needed. Visible red light between 600 and 700 nanometers and 630 and 660 nanometers are the most commonly studied. Also, invisible infrared light between 700 and 1000 nanometers, 800 to 930 nanometers are most commonly studied. The wavelengths increase ATP levels by enhancing an enzyme found in the electron transport chain called cytochrome oxidase. The increased ATP production comes at a cost. It causes free radicals, reactive oxygen species levels, to rise. This is the hormesis part. That, however, triggers the antioxidant response element, which strengthens our antioxidant system. Instead of taking antioxidants, which studies suggest are not helpful, the body's internal antioxidant machinery is strengthened. While Dr. Stein acknowledges that mitochondrial support can be helpful, she also notes that supplements and drugs like glucosamine and berberine and the diabetes drug metformin that block mitochondrial production have a hormetic effect as they result in the production of more mitochondria and are considered longevity factors. I noted that many studies have found increased oxidative stress, or free radicals, in ME/CFS. This could be happening because exhausted T cells throw out lots of free radicals. So do damaged mitochondria and cells that have not been cleared out by autophagy. Dr. Stein noted that if the problem with T cells is exhaustion, then maybe helping their mitochondria to function better would help reduce oxidative stress. Dr. Stein then suggested the low energy levels could be impairing sleep and interfering with the vital repair processes that occur during sleep. She has found photobiomodulation, or red infrared light therapy, can help with sleep in ME/CFS and uses red infrared light therapy before going to sleep. She suggests reading Ari Witten's Red Light Therapy book. Intermittent fasting, metabolic flexibility. Because we evolved in times when food wasn't always available, our bodies have developed metabolic flexibility. That is, we burn carbohydrates for immediate energy when food is available and store energy in the form of fats, which we use to power our bodies when food is not available. Most of us, healthy or ill, are in poor metabolic health. We're overweight, have some form of insulin resistance, have high cholesterol, high blood pressure, high triglycerides, all of which increase our risk of things like diabetes, cancer, dementia, and heart disease. Intermittent fasting. Fasting for 12 hours or more a day, 14 to 16 hours is best, aiming for 4 to 5 times a week, helps protect from those things. The body goes into repair mode when that happens and starts repairing bad cells and clears out garbage from the brain, fat from the liver, etc. It also triggers our cells to burn fat to get energy. Like all these practices, you start low and build up. Maybe you start at 10 hours of fasting from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. each day and then add a half an hour at a time. The ideal is not to eat 3 hours before bedtime. It's best to have a big protein, fat, and calorie meal earlier in the day. Dr. Stein noted that the drug rapamycin enhances all these hormetic, also known as longevity-enhancing, pathways. She believes the most reliable, cheapest, and safest ways to improve them, though, is through natural means. Intermittent light, heat and cold exposure, oxygen deprivation, fasting, etc. Dr. Courtney Gregg has found intermittent fasting helpful for her ME/CFS. And there's a link to that in the text version of the article. Heat exposure. Sauna is another hormetic practice that stresses and rejuvenates. Infrared saunas are all the rage now, but Dr. Stein believes the key is getting you to sweat, and traditional rock steam saunas do that very well. In her experience and mine, it's when you're sweating that the endorphins, those feel-good chemicals, start to show up. She noted that Susanna Solberg, PhD, who is a world expert on heat and cold exposure, has found that sauna 4 to 7 times a week, each time with 10 minutes of active sweating, is best, presumably for healthy people. Obviously, people with ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID would want to start lower. Dr. Stein says a couple times a week works for her. The sweating response is similar to what happens during exercise. Your heart speeds up and your blood pressure goes up. It's also a great detoxifier and can help with heat intolerance. If you can't exercise, sauna might be an option. If you do sauna, be sure to fluid load with electrolytes a half an hour before the sauna and then during it as well. Decades ago, I did the sauna program at Dr. Ray's in Dallas. I couldn't handle the exercise portion of bicycling, but I did the sauna program and really pushed it. It was miserable throughout the couple of weeks I was there, but a couple of days later driving home, suddenly I felt better than I had in years. Doing sauna later, I found it difficult to tolerate at times, but it did produce some highs as well. Cold exposure. Being exposed to cold temperatures is another hormetic practice that can be helpful. There's been quite a bit of interest in cryotherapy in fibromyalgia. A blog is coming up on that. The benefits of cold exposure are similar to those of heat exposure. Cold exposure tells your body to up its metabolism, build more mitochondria, and increase their output. Instead of completely bundling up, Dr. Stein is going out into the cold Canadian climate without as many layers. However you do it, a cold shower or bath or exposure to the elements, the key is to activate the shivering response. Brief exposures to the cold, a couple of minutes, are enough. They also provide a good opportunity to train your breathing and train yourself to create calmness even in adverse circumstances. Breathing. Studies suggest that some of us are hyperventilating, probably in an attempt to get more oxygen to our cells and increase our energy levels. David Systrom's invasive exercise studies indicate that many people with ME/CFS or long COVID are having trouble getting oxygen to their tissues during exercise. He's also finding that some people have hypocapnia, low carbon dioxide levels. When that happens, though, we breathe out too much carbon dioxide, leaving our body more alkaline, which then makes it more difficult for the oxygen to leave the hemoglobin and move into our cells. That increases the air hunger, causing us to hyperventilate more, and on and on. Holding your breath, reducing your oxygen levels, can increase your carbon dioxide levels. Deep breathing is not where it's at, though. The best and most efficient breathing is done quietly and shallowly. Dr. Stein is not an expert on breathing, but she recommended Patrick McHugh and Ari Witten's breathing module to optimize breathing. David Petrino's MEO course for people with long COVID also focuses on breathing. Hormetic foods. While vegetables and fruits contain lots of nutrients, they also contain phytonutrients that are just a little bit toxic and produce some hormetic stress. Different colors of vegetables and fruits contain different phytonutrients, so it's a good idea to take in a range of them. Because these phytonutrients trigger our antioxidant systems to rev up, and because studies have not borne out that taking antioxidants works, Dr. Stein suggests eating a wide variety of different colored fruits and vegetables to naturally boost your antioxidant system. When she goes shopping, she tries to buy one food she usually doesn't eat. Conclusion. I asked Dr. Stein how effective these practices might be for someone with ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and/or long COVID. Based on her experience with patients over the past 25 years, she's no longer practicing, red light, infrared therapy, and sauna can be helpful. A lot of research has been done on the other practices, such as heat, cold, breathing, intermittent fasting, foods, but she doesn't know how much people with these diseases benefit from those. Hormetic stressors don't appear likely to cure your ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, or long COVID. But they are not woo-woo ideas either. As Dr. Stein said, most have been well studied and have a solid grounding in the scientific literature. Dr. Stein's website has many free resources, a once-a-month newsletter, and a new subscription membership course called Live with Dr. Stein that features Dr. Stein interacting with a variety of experts. Past course offerings have included treating Lyme disease, chronic inflammation, recovery with Raylan Eagle, managing orthostatic intolerance with Peter Rowe, chronic disease and aging, and more. Future sessions include improving sleep, craniocervical issues, healing environmental sensitivities, and using hydrogen-rich water. A low-income option is available. Get Dr. Stein's handout on hormesis by going here to the link in the text version of the article. Check out Dr. Stein's Healing Through Neuroplasticity course in another link. Coming up on Health Rising, blogs on photobiomodulation, cold and heat stress, and breathing. Health Rising is not affiliated with, and it doesn't receive funding from, Dr. Stein or her courses.